Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, and welcome to 2018. It's hard to believe that a new year has begun. And boy, I don't know about you, but this year is already, it's just the first week and it's already gone off with the, you know, so many changes are happening. Always for the good. And that brings me to the importance of my guest that I have today. Sandra Riegel is a young woman who just recently moved to the United States from Belgium, just in November of 2017, excuse me, and is really an inspiration as a young woman and having a vision of what she wanted to do her whole life. And that's one of the things that I really love to focus on in the show is people that are making a difference, people that are saying, I see this need and I'm going to try to do what I can, see what I can do to help to fix this need or help to abate it in some way. So welcome to the show, Sandra.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for a nice introduction. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So let's just get right to the beginning of your story. How is it that you, as a young woman, even before you were a young woman, as a young girl, you always knew that you wanted to travel. You knew that you wanted to come to the United States, as you told me.
Yeah.
And what actually brought you here? Could you share that with us, please?
The fascination with the United States started when I was really, really young. I know, like, telling my mom when I was 4 years old, pointing to her, like, a picture of New York and telling her, like, one day I'm going to move there. So when I told my family, like, last summer that I'm moving to the U.S., it wasn't a surprise for them. How did I get here? That's quite a story. I started out of college working in corporate.
What kind of corporate work did you do?
Like IT. Okay. I was a sales executive. I worked for different
companies. In Belgium?
Yeah, in Belgium. Mm-hmm. I had big clients in the public sector, like the military, foreign affairs. I did large outsourcing deals. And when I was young, I was thinking like, okay, that's going to be my goal. I want to build a career in corporate.
I hate to tell you, honey, you're still young.
Oh, yeah. It was my
yesterday
birthday.
Yesterday was her birthday. She turned 31 yesterday.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, okay. A younger, I'll say that. And yeah, so I really had that goal of building out a career. But then from a moment that I had it, it was like I was looking myself in the mirror and I knew that I wasn't fulfilled. Mm. So I started asking myself, okay, what is my passion?
What made you feel not fulfilled, if you don't mind my asking? Mm-hmm. Was it that, you know, the push to continuously expand in something that, you know, tell me why you didn't feel fulfilled?
Like for me personally,
yes, please, of course.
I felt like I wasn't making a change.
Okay.
And it was okay. I was in my comfort zone. I was making good money. I was having like a lot of good career prospects, but I felt like something is missing, but what is missing? And then like you have to look yourself in the mirror and really ask, what do you want to do in life? And for me, that took me quite some time though, because it wasn't like I know people that wanted to be a doctor when they were young, or they knew like they had their calling. Mm-hmm. But for me, I really had to like visit, travel the world, see the world, and just explore it. And for one reason or another, I came to visit Detroit, I'm thinking like 2 years ago almost, with the intention that I always wanted like to invest money, and real estate always was like a passion of mine. My parents back home, they had like a kitchen construction company. My grandparents, they had an electricity firm. So it goes
back. You were in your family was in the trades.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about investing in real estate, and through some people, they started talking to me about the US. So I came to visit the US. They started talking to me about Florida at the time, but I loved going to New York, and I was going to go to New York for my birthday. And I was thinking like, okay, Detroit isn't that far away. Let me just take a flight there and see what it's like.
Now, were you by yourself?
I was all by myself. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just a suitcase. Yeah.
Wow.
So I arrived at the airport. I booked a hotel, got a cab. And online, I met some realtors, and the realtors, they showed me around the city. They showed me the west side, downtown, east side. And I started thinking to myself, like a lot of people, they only see problems or issues. And I was seeing opportunity when I went to Detroit. I just like told my mom, I went like, look, there's something happening there. Like people are in the news are being negative about it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I could feel the spirit of the people in Detroit, how mm-hmm. they wanted to fight back, how they were going to rebuild their city. I just thought to myself, I want to be a part of it, of this. And that's how I started it all up. Like 2 years
ago. So when was that you made your first, you know, kind of tour of the city by yourself in a cab?
Oh, 2 years ago.
2 years.
Exactly 2 years ago.
Wow. So were you seeing it in the wintertime, in the summertime? So were you seeing the, you know, obviously if everything's covered with snow, you might not see the infrastructure so well. Or what time of year was it?
Wintertime.
It was winter.
Yeah. It was snowing. It was actually really cold. It wasn't snowing, but it was really, really cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was also my first experience with Michigan winter that I totally wasn't used to at all, because back home we don't have this. But I saw it in the wintertime. But even then, that was also the period that they were talking about putting the M1 rail. You could see Woodward Avenue, like transforming it, businesses going there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could really see the opportunity. So
wow. So can you tell me, as a young person who really is learning to sense literally, viscerally in your body what you're feeling, mm-hmm. not just what you're thinking. Obviously, many people go into opportunities or job prospects or whatever they think perhaps just exclusively in a business state of mind. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what can I make here? But I think that what you're saying is what you were feeling. Mm-hmm. What were you feeling as you were driving around? I mean, were you affected by the blight that you were seeing, or were you affected by the tenacity of the people that were still in Detroit? What was it that caught your attention?
It was mostly the tenacity of the people, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, the blight, certainly 2 years ago, Detroit since then has already changed a lot. I'm astonished every day when I drive through the neighborhoods. But I mean, you could see a city that, I mean, home of so many innovations, it has so much history. Mm-hmm. And you could see it also in the houses and in the neighborhoods. So when I talk to people, you could feel that they were hungry. And I'm always like that also. I'm always like ready to go, ready to do it and explore new things. And I think that matched well with the people here. And that's really what attracted me to the city.
Well, Sandra, and again, my guest is Sandra Riegel, and she is, you can get in touch with her because she's really inspirational in terms of just having this vision and not letting things stop her and being very inclusive and helping to help people see their own lives differently. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit later about what her ultimate goal is in helping people change their lives. But you can reach Sandra at 586-447-6006 or at Sandra Riegel, R-E-I-G-E-L @gmail.com. So I just wanted to put that in so people mm-hmm. know how to get in touch with you. But so Sandra, when you first had this idea, you saw that there are so many things that could happen, and there was it was a land of opportunity, not necessarily a land of just trouble. Mm-hmm. And what were your first moves? I mean, what did you do? How did you? I know you said you looked online for different realtors.
Uh-huh. I started an LLC, which is compared to European norms. There's an expression that says like Americans invent it, Chinese copy it, and Europeans put some legislation on it, which for me as an entrepreneur is like 100% true, because like here in the US to create your company and to start something is not easy, but I mean it's accessible.
Yes.
To a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I started my LLC 2 years ago, and I started to invest first into properties that I rented out. One was that was on the west side, and then a couple of months later I came back and I bought two homes that need to be rehabbed on the east side in East English Village. And that's actually how it all started. It wasn't easy though, because you're like on the other side of the world to follow everything up.
Oh, so you were in Belgium when you were
doing this.
So how on earth did you find, number one, contractors, and number one, reliable, honest contractors? Yeah. Was that a challenge for you? Because obviously you didn't know individuals here.
Yeah, I mean, my realtor suggested a couple of names, and through him I got in contact with Bob Burke, which was really like a blessing. Sometimes people are put on your path when you try to do good things. You just
always,
yeah, it just all kind of falls together. And
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Bob too.
Yeah, and he really like took me into his home also when I came here to visit. Like, oh, I could stay at his home, and he tried to make sure that, that everything went well. So I met Bob. Then I met, the more time I spent here, you get to meet some people. They recommend some other people. So right now I'm working with another good guy, Ed. I'm working with Paul, which is also another contractor, who's a good friend of Bob. So you start to like make your own selection. Nevertheless, I've met some bad contractors, like just a month ago, some really bad contractors, but that is just part of the lesson.
Well, that's right. You have to, you weed out people that you
exactly.
know are, and what people really need to understand right now that's happening globally mm-hmm. in terms of a spiritual or awakening kind of thing. If you're not doing the right thing, your company will fail.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And people really need to, there's always an equal and opposite reaction. So if you're doing something good, it's going to drive things good forward. You may have some setbacks, of course, mm-hmm. but if you're out there for the wrong reason, it's going to eventually fail.
Oh yeah. I'm convinced of that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because money is important. You got to make sure that your company is profitable. If your company isn't profitable, you can't give employment to other people. But making a difference, making sure that what you're doing actually produces good is equally mm-hmm. as important right now. And you can see that in like a lot of the new entrepreneurs. I watch a lot of Shark Tank. And a lot of the new young people that come on, their message is like, it's not all about money. It's not having a profitable company, but also making a change and doing good.
Right, right.
And you can really see that change. I feel like in people my generation and younger, they have that mindset.
Well, yeah. And there's a thing called impact investing, uh-huh. which is really, it's not just looking at the bottom line, but it's looking what is the global good. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to help people change the way they see themselves? Because ultimately, when people change the way they view themselves, then they change the way they view others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we have to change about the mindset, about how corporations are run, how business, you know, small or big, however it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
So how have people been responding to you that are seeing the work that you're doing? You know, as somebody who's come from Europe, and you're seeing that, you know, your enthusiasm, your youth, your vision, and how do you think that that's changed people that you're working with to have more enthusiasm for what they're doing? Have you noticed that?
I think I do. I got one guy that I work with in particular. His name is Mark. I'm gonna let him know. I'm gonna send him the link. He's gonna be happy.
You can say his full. You can say his full name if you want to.
Yeah,
there's a million Marks here in this.
Yeah,
world,
but I think he knows what
okay.
I'm talking about. And,
okay.
He's been one of the most loyal people that I've met, and he's really been there also for me. So he works two jobs. He works. He's incredible. He works like from 10 to 6 in the morning as a security agent. He goes back. He lives in Detroit. And then he goes and paint for me, like in the cold temperature. Like, he's such a good guy, and he's got my back. You know, if something bad happens, like he calls me, or he always goes like, look, if something's wrong, you just give me a call. Mm-hmm. So you tend to meet like good people. And I also think that he also like sees right now the kind of work that we are producing, the level and quality of work that we are doing. Like, one of the houses that we did was in his neighborhood. So he also like he can feel that he's also like contributing to a change
and, to his own environment.
Yeah, to his own environment. So I mean, he has his mother-in-law that's looking for a house. I already told him, like, look, maybe we'll do one for her in particular with the colors that she likes.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, that's really like an example of what I want to do, and also like I want to help him like grow and maybe scale his business, because he's a really good painter. You gotta have good, he can paint really good. I suck at it, he already told me. I tried to paint a door once, and the paint was all over the floor. I think I'm gonna like have him scale also his business, so he can also grow along with me, because he has the capacities to do that.
That's so beautiful, is when you're helping somebody know that they can do it, and when you help somebody thrive, then it spreads like wildfire. Uh-huh. You know, like, oh, come and work with this young woman, and she's going to help you succeed because she's succeeding. And I think that that is such an important mindset for people to have.
Mm-hmm.
Really important. And again, my guest is Sandra Riegel, and she just moved here to the United States from Belgium in November of 2017, just a couple of months ago, and is really doing incredible things to help to follow her own dream, which is to make a difference in the world with four people that are in need. And not only to be simply charitable, but to also say, you can do this. You can change your life. You can have a better life. And I think that that's what's so beautiful. And that's what really wanted me to have you on the show. So tell me, how many homes have you renovated so far?
I think we're looking at like five, but those were mostly five, six, well, I got to say seven right now, but those were mostly done when I'm overseas. So, I mean, it's kind of difficult to follow up. Right now, I got five going on at the same time.
Are they completed?
Yeah, you got some in different stages, though. There's one that's going to be completed next week. There's another one that's like mid through, and the other ones are still like early in demolition phase. But also the weather is playing like a big role right now.
Of course. Yeah. So tell me, how has it been for you to come in to see, you know, from you, you totally have a fresh point of view. Never have been living in the United States until this point in time. Never have lived in Michigan until this point in time. And what do you see that, what it was like? Again, I'm trying to elicit what your feelings were. You know, when you walk into these places and you see, well, this needs to be done. And as you said earlier, half of the houses in a particular area were abandoned or not being used. And as you see things start to change, how do you notice the entire vicinity changing, the entire neighborhood? Are people welcoming to you? Are they kind of looking out for you? What do you feel is happening?
I mean, right now, there's a house that I actually bought through Land Bank, which is an organization that offers auction homes. I bought it for $1,000, which for us, for
it's
everybody,
astonishing.
Seems crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in a neighborhood when I originally bought it. I would have to say it was like 50% vacant, 50% occupied. Right now, like yesterday, I just drove through it and I just thought to myself, this is amazing. There's maybe 10% vacancy, 15% vacancy. You got the neighbors on the left that are looking out. They're living together. They're one big family. The guy asked me if I was going to sell it. I told him yes. He was maybe going to buy it for his uncle so the family could live next door. But I mean, you see a lot of appreciation also of the people. If you do it with a good heart and a good intention, though, you know, yes. If you come in and you try to like really revitalize a neighborhood, they appreciate it a lot what you're doing. If you're just coming in to get like quick money and don't really care about it, but I mean, that's what I stand for, though. I want to do and produce good work. Mm-hmm. I got another house that's more on the east side. It's like Limit East Point Roseville. That used to be a drug house. So I mean, people are really happy when you come in and you completely demolish that house and you make sure that a family's putting you in.
So literally, are you leveling the house or you're just gutting the houses?
Gutted that house from the inside out. I mean, when you first entered the house, there was a porch on the right. There was like a little light where you had like light it on, and then they like shipped through the drugs. So I mean, you can imagine how happy people are if you take something like that away, because there was crime involved or surrounding the house. A lot of people were unhappy with what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I mean, when you do things like that, it's not only, oh yeah, I'm doing a nice house here. No, you're also making sure that the crime is lesser. Like people come out in their neighborhood. Like you change a lot of things through that.
Now, speaking of affecting the crime rate, are you seeing that like police officers maybe are introducing themselves to you, or are you aware of the law enforcement officers or anything like that, or people in the city government that are really recognizing what you're doing?
I mean, throughout my work and my stay here, I've been able to meet a lot of people. One of those people was Adrian Tonin, who works for the government, and who has really been also instrumental in guiding me around the city and letting me know, like, okay, we as a government, we have this vision for the city. So you can like really adapt your vision, what you want to do, accordingly to what they are doing. So I mean, that is really important. I can also see like the green lights that they have out right now in Detroit, where like gas stations, you can see the crime really dropping.
So what does a green light mean for those that, you remember, people are listening all over the world? What does that mean?
It actually means that when you're like being chased or someone has a pointed gun at you or just feeling unsafe, you can actually write there, and it's like a station that is being surveillanced by the police department.
Okay. So it's a safe zone.
Yeah, it's like a safe zone. They have cameras installed there because they actually noticed that a lot of crime was going down at gas stations, and certainly at night. Yes. So from the moment that they installed those lights, they started to see the crime rates really drop very, very low.
And where would they have these green light districts? Would it be like at a party store or in a public parking lot? Where might it be so that people, or like, is it just randomly throughout
the
city?
No, it's like gas stations, party stores. It's really
public
on the
places.
Yeah, on the commercial roads in Detroit. You can see them. They like blink.
Okay. That's really important to know. Really important to know. So as I would just can only imagine that when people are looking at what you're doing to change their neighborhood, are you finding people are just kind of approaching you and say, hey, what are you doing here?
I find a lot of people like coming up to me and asking for work also.
That's something I want to talk about in the second half of the show, because I think that is so important. Because if you're not employing, if you're just bringing in contractors or you're bringing in different people to do work, but they're not from that location, then you're not doing a long-term assisting of the community, because if somebody doesn't have a job, they're not going to be able to afford the home that you're creating.
Exactly. So you got to really give employment also back. That's how Bob found Mark, the painter. He just came up to Bob and asked for work also.
Okay. So Bob is Bob Berg.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's from obviously metropolitan Detroit area.
He lives in St. Clair Shores, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he is the general contractor that you're working with? Is that what he does?
Yeah, I got several people working with, but Bob, yeah, I've been working with him for like the past year and a half.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So we have just a couple more minutes left in this segment. And then again, when we return after the short break, we want to talk about what is Sandra's vision of expanding her dream and helping other people have their dream come true. So again, my guest is Sandra Riegel. She can be reached at 586-447-6006 or by email at Sandra Riegel, which is R-E-I-G-E-L @gmail.com. And Sandra is a young 30-something, just turned 31 yesterday. Happy birthday.
I'm 32.
Oh, 32. Excuse
me. You can stick at 31.
Okay, 32. 30. Well, I'll give you the years you're due, right?
Yeah.
But it's amazing because you had a vision when you were a child, and then as you grew into your adulthood and you saw that what you were doing in the corporate world really wasn't fulfilling, important perhaps, but not fulfilling to you.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is really beautiful and admirable, and that you were brave enough. I mean, when I heard your story, it reminded me of my grandmother who moved from Ireland when she was 19 years old. And I think, oh my gosh, that is just takes so much courage. To just say, I'm leaving everybody I know behind. I'm leaving the life that I know behind. And the good thing is we have airplanes now.
Yeah.
You couldn't just jump on a boat to get across the Atlantic.
Exactly. You got Skype and FaceTime.
Yeah.
But like my first night when I came here, I don't have a lot of anxiety attacks, but I got an anxiety attack. Like just like the realization, like, okay, you just arrived here with a suitcase. You left everything behind. What next? That was like a big moment. But
we'll talk about how did you overcome that. Let's talk about how did you overcome that moment. What did you do? Because I think that everybody has that pause or that fear that can paralyze them.
Uh-huh.
And then they never go forward. How did you get out of that? A little bit of a challenge emotionally, which is normal.
My fear of regret would have been way bigger. Yeah. I was just thinking like, look, if it's like the last breath you take and you just stayed in your comfort zone and never took a chance, that just terrified me way more than anxiety attack that I was having.
Good
so
for you.
I just took a piece of paper, wrote down my goals and really split them up in tiny little steps. So next day when I woke up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I checked it off, you know, and that made me feel, okay, I did something. I did a little step that's part of a big step. And that's how I overcame like that fear that was just driving me. Yeah.
How beautiful is that? Going beyond medicine. So many people have anxiety attacks and the first thing to do is they take medication.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay, no. You decided to make a list.
Yeah, make a list.
That's brilliant. So we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue with my guest, Sandra Riegel, who is here from Belgium, now living in the United States in the metropolitan Detroit area, and working to help to change lives by buying and renovating homes so that other people can actually fulfill their dreams too, to have the life that they deserve in the community that they love and can have their own dreams come true. We'll be right back. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, and we'll return in just a minute. Stay with us.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul. Calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbee. Did you know that every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11 years ago, and I know how scary it can be. Everything your doctor says sounds like a foreign language. HER2-NU, oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Please listen. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options, and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. The first place to go the minute you find you have breast cancer, breastcancer.org.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And my guest today, continuing my conversation with Sandra Riegel, who is a young woman who just recently came to the United States, to Detroit, metropolitan Detroit, from Belgium, just in November of 2017, with the dream that she had a long time ago of making an impact in the lives of others, came here literally with a suitcase only, and decided what she wanted to do was help by buying and fixing houses so that people in communities would be able to have a place to live and therefore be able to have a life and fulfill their own dreams. So welcome back to the show, Sandra.
Thank you, Lee.
So I'm so impressed with your stamina and your belief and your, courage, really. It's thank courage. You. I thank you. I needed that today.
Capricorn. Remember what you told me about Capricorn?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So tell me what you want to do ultimately. So obviously you want, as you said earlier, you have to have a business that is making money, obviously, first and foremost, or you're not going to be able to continue with your mission. But what else do you want to do?
I want to create and create in the way that I come from an IT background. So the innovation part I was always like involved in and passionate by. And we're going to see a lot of industries that are going to be transformed due to innovation, due to artificial intelligence. But real estate is something that hasn't undergone that yet. So I'm just thinking to myself, okay, what are the future possibilities of real estate and how can it evolve? I'm thinking about 3D printing. There's a lot of 3D printing going on. There's a company in Russia. They can build a house for homeless people in 24 hours. Got like a little house, kitchen. So I'm thinking about a lot of those ideas and how with maybe the city of Detroit, we can maybe like have an area where we can access, where we can give access to houses, to homeless people. Like right now, yesterday I was driving, it's so cold in here. Like for the people back home, it was minus 20 degrees Celsius. Here mm-hmm. it was like 3 to 4 degrees. There are people freezing to death, like yes. outside.
Yes.
But like we live in a Western world. This is 2018. Like how can we change that? So I think that there's like a lot of transformation that needs to be done in the IT industry. And maybe transform also the people from like craftsmen, also like have engineers that think about like, how can we build something? How can we create something? Because right now what I'm doing, I love it, but I'm not creating anything. Mm. So
I have some ideas to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But also I think that what we were talking about during the break, that you're also wanting to help to employ people that mm-hmm. That really are underemployed or unemployed.
Yeah, like,
for instance, the gentleman you were speaking about like, earlier, that's a painter.
Yeah, like a couple of years ago, people considered like knowing a craft, they considered it like not of value. No, it was like go to college, have a degree, but okay, you come out of college, you have a lot of debt, and then they start working. But right now, if they can find a job, there's so much demand for people that know a craft, there are can put up drywall, painting, plumbing, electricity. Like, let's just take these young people and like, I want to work with nonprofit schools and then they can like come on internship basis and they can do my houses and they can see, okay, if this is something that I like, I want to help them grow also their own business. So I really like want to like push it forward to other people so they can also evolve, because I really feel like knowing a craft nowadays is severely undervalued.
Oh, and everyone needs a home.
Everyone needs a home. And
if your furnace isn't working or your pipes have frozen.
Exactly.
Or you can't turn your lights on, you're not going to go to an accountant for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You need to have somebody that knows how to do those skills that are vitally important and should be elevated, really.
Yeah. So I really want to give that a push. And I think that there's like a lot of young guys, even women.
And
like,
women, absolutely.
Yeah. I was, last week, there was a mother-daughter duo that did my whole electricity for a house. I was so impressed.
Wonderful.
A mother and a daughter, yeah. So, I mean, they're like women also out there doing a really good job. But I feel like we can have a lot of these young people that are looking for a job. We can transform them and get them in contact with a trade. Right now, they also don't know it. So
yes.
I want to like make it more accessible for them. So,
you know, I was in October of 2017, I was in Switzerland and mm-hmm. I was really amazed at, cause I didn't know this about their education system, and tell me if this happens in Belgium as well. Okay. But I was surprised to learn that you have mandatory school up until ninth grade. But once you're in the ninth grade, instead of going in the United States, they call it high school. You could either elect to leave school and go into an apprenticeship of some kind,
uh-huh.
And learn any kind of business, or you can continue on with your high school education. But the thing that I thought was so brilliant about that is they immediately give you that choice. And often, you know, if someone elects to be an apprentice in whatever kind of trade it is, by the time they're done with that apprenticeship, they have a viable skill.
Uh-huh. Actually, my oldest brother, he did that. So when he was like 14, he went and picked up a trade. He's brilliant. Like he can install tile, kitchens, he can do it all. But the problem is the perception of that. Like a lot of parents, they prefer their kids going to college, having a fancy degree. They don't want them to go trade school because they consider it inferior, which is crazy, like you just said. If you don't have a furnace in the cold, like that is a valuable trade, but it's also in the mindset of a lot of people that it's still inferior, which I think is a real shame.
Well, I think that's changing, and and what you're doing and what other people are doing is, you know, there's some people that, you know, we think of like Einstein. His mother was told that her child was uneducable. You know, thank God she didn't listen.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and he didn't listen because, you know, we need innovators. We need people that can strategize and not just look at a prescribed formula of what something is supposed to be. They look beyond all of that. And I think that's what's so inspiring about what you're doing. You know, so again, my guest is Sandra Riegel, and she can be contacted at Sandra Riegel, R-E-I-G-E-L, @gmail.com. And her telephone number is 586-447-6006. And the reason I wanted to have Sandra onto the show was because I was so impressed the very first time I met her. And actually, I'd heard about her a couple of months before that at a meeting that I was at. And the work that she was doing as a young 30-something woman who had decided that she wanted to make a difference in the world and left her home country of Belgium, came to the United States, looked and took a tour of Detroit and said, look at the opportunity here. And it's not that you're taking away from anyone. That's the thing that I think that people really can easily misconstrue as like, well, there's people coming from other countries that are taking away our jobs. No, you're actually creating jobs. Yeah. You're creating opportunities because you're seeing with a fresh eye. Mm-hmm. Which is so beautiful. So where do you see yourself a year from now? How do you want to see your business expand?
I want to pick up the pace, though. Like in terms of employment, I really want to double it.
Do you have employees now?
I work with subcontractors mostly. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking like to hire also, if I can scale my company, like more people that do paperwork and stuff like that. So we can really like have like a team and like some project managers, some people that are going to be like dedicated to a couple of houses and follow it up, mostly have like an overview role. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about hiring some young people that are hungry again and that are willing to learn. And yeah, that's really what I want to do, like double the subcontractors and hire 2 to 3 people to just make them evolve, young people that are willing to learn.
Well, just like you said, there is a gentleman that you're working with that is a painter that is doing an incredible job, and you're helping him to see, gee, why don't you expand this into a business for yourself, not just being, you know, a sometime laborer, you know, and that could actually get him out of working 2 or 3 jobs where he has more financial stability, and then he has more time for his family.
Exactly.
Isn't that beautiful? But, you know, I think of the work that we've had done in our house, and you know, you have your electrician, you have your plumber, you have your drywall guy, you have your painter, you have your rough carpentry, and you have your finished carpentry, you have your cap. There's so many people. It's not just one person who is a jack of all trades often, you know, but there's so many people's lives that can be influenced and give them the sense of how do we make this happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you want to double you want to continue to grow your business.
Yeah, yeah,
but what is your vision, Sandra, when you're talking about helping the people that are really not being served in terms of education, or maybe they've had a hard life and they really haven't had the chance to go to school, or the schools that they've been in and maybe have been a little bit rough and a little bit challenging for them? And I think that how do you see what you're doing with the St. Clair Butterfly Foundation, for instance, right now that you and I are both a part of?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? And tell what that is, because many people will not know, although we've had them on the show. But
yeah, the Butterfly Foundation is a foundation that gives underprivileged kids the chance to educate themselves through art, music, and
the
just
creative aspect.
Yeah, creative aspect, and just also an overall guidance, I would say, of their lives. Right now I'm working with this incredible young lady. She's 19 years old, and she cleans the houses for me when I'm done, but she's just amazing. She wants to go to the vet school. So we really also pay those young kids to perform, like maybe demolition. Some of the guys do demolitions. She does more cleaning of the house. Together with Bob, I there was an amazing story. His name is Elijah. He's a great, great guy, very funny. He's like in his last year of college right now. But like all through his college and through high school, Bob was his football coach. And we just provided also work for him. He did the demolition since he was a big football guy. He was really useful in demolition. It went fast with him.
Yeah.
So yeah, through summer, he did the first East English homes that I bought. He completely demoed them. And, you know, that also gives those young kids some cash for them to go to school and to do other things. And maybe also to get in touch with a trade. Like, is it something that they would like to do? If not, they can still like pursue their college dreams. But you know, you just open up doors and you just like open up the mindset a bit, and that is also important, like getting them out and making sure that they know all the possibilities and opportunities that are out there for
them. That's right. And I think that people they should never underestimate what happens when someone sees something completely transform. When you see something, it's like for me, my background is as an artist. And it was like when you create something from nothing, you know, and you put this color together and you put that texture together and you think, wow, this is an expression of me. And really, when somebody is creating and using their mindset, well, what do we think about this? Let's put this design here. Let's use this texture here. Let's expand. You know, when they're creating something and then they see a finished product like a home, I mean, that's so tangible.
Yeah. Let's not forget like the beauty of these old Detroit houses.
Oh my gosh, they're like spectacular.
There's one house on 3 Mile that I was doing with Bob, and they stuck like those vinyl tiles over the bathroom floor. And like by accident, we just pulled up a little piece. There was like old mosaic 1930s floors. We just burned it all off, but it was so gorgeous. Like another house that we done, like they had still like the ironing board that was like, you know, like in the wall from like the 40s. I thought that was like amazing. You have amazing, amazing accents and history in these old Detroit homes that I absolutely love and that we try to.
Yeah, there was such craftsmanship.
Exactly.
Yeah. Beautiful woods, hand carved, you know, the Puabak pottery and different kinds of things like that, stained glass. You don't find those things anymore.
Exactly.
You know, but maybe there's a way with what you're doing is bringing those crafts back. You know, because there is something about holding a piece of hardwood in your hand. It doesn't have the same feeling as particle board, you know, or something that you know is not going to last the test of time. These houses that have even been neglected, and you, as you say, you peel it up and you see this covered beauty.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. That is it.
Isn't that great? So when you're doing the house, are you also transforming the exterior, cleaning up the space, visual, you know, like the landscaping and making gardens and things of that nature?
Yeah, the landscaping, like always, because there are like a lot of trees that just grow wild in front of the houses, so we cut them off. We have someone take care of, like, when it's summertime, of the lawn and stuff like that.
So that's creating another job.
Oh, yeah, there are like so many. Like, on one house, I should count them, but I'm sure there are like 15 people that are working on it completely.
You should.
You really should, because
you said, from that, you're spawning all these different businesses, you know, and there's nothing quite as awe-inspiring when somebody sees something that they think is never going to change, because that's what they've been told and that's what they believed and that's what they've lived and that's been their history, and they see a change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're doing.
That is fantastic. Again, my guest is Sandra Riegel, R-E-I-G-E-L, and she is a young visionary who has come to the United States just in November of 2017 from her native homeland of Belgium, and from her early life had the dream of really making a difference and had the opportunity to live and work in the corporate world and saw the importance of that, but also saw that for her personally, it was not as fulfilling as she wished it would be. But gratefully, you used that, your intelligence, to not just dismiss all of that, but to recognize that you build a team, you build concepts, you build a way of believing in yourself and other people, to pack up your bag and move to the city of Detroit without knowing anybody. You're so brave.
I always say, like, the experience in my past made me. So I'm really grateful for it. There's a reason that I went through the corporate world and then I learned a lot of things, and I just opened also my personal vision. Like, I'm grateful for that also, and I recognize that what I learned there, like in terms of contracts and stuff like that, it's really useful right now. So
absolutely.
I believe in life that whatever you go to just leads you to your final destination where you should be.
So how are you finding that people that are meeting you, let's say for the first time, the people that have been in the political arena or other philanthropists or other people that are doing stuff, how are they reacting to you, and are they willing to mentor you and help you in different ways? As you said, there was a gentleman, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but you said there was a gentleman that was helping you that was part of the government in Detroit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe that people are put on your path for a reason. Like, if you follow your passion and your heart, you just, like, exude this energy and you just attract people into your life that guide your life on a certain path. I had it back home in Belgium. Like, I always used to be surrounded for one reason or another by good people that I met and that provided me guidance where I needed it.
Yeah.
So the right thing is coming to me also now, I believe, by meeting you personally, because like I told you before the show starts, but like in my whole career, I've never been mentored by a woman, because like in the world where I came from, it was more like competition, like a woman versus a woman's more competition. They were never open to taking up a mentor role and to guide you. So that was always something that I wanted to change. And that's what I try to do right now. If I see a young woman, is just try to guide her and be there also for her. And people of the Butterclaire Foundation are also right now on my road. So I meet a lot of people that just make sense for me to where I want to go, the right elements and energy just enter.
And thank you for saying that, because it's really the mindset too of women really has to change, so that women don't just think of working with other women of all age strata. I mean, I'm old enough to be your mom, certainly. And you know, it's to me, I was very fortunate to live in a family that we're always supporting one another. We don't always necessarily agree, but we always support each other, and we try to learn, okay, please explain that to me so I understand what you're doing. And then we're each other's greatest cheerleaders. And so I think, and with lots of nieces and nephews, that's, I think you're talking about what is so important to me personally, is how do you help someone to be their best selves? It's easy to beat somebody down.
Oh yeah.
But only a fool does that. Only a fool does that, because ultimately you're going to lose. You're going to lose when you hurt people. You're going to lose when you're not saying, you know, it's easy to judge. It's not always easy to observe.
In the corporate world, I was very, very fortunate to have some great bosses. And you could see like the difference. If you were in a department where the boss helped you out, stimulated you, their department was always growing. But if you could see another department where like they were bringing you down, they were being negative, the numbers just plummeted, because the people weren't, one, they didn't want to work for someone like that.
Of course.
And it was just too much negativity. So I always felt like I wanted to do that, but it was also always a lot of men that did that. And for me personally, I'm talking about really women in management back home that were really like not supportive, and I didn't understand. It was more like a competition thing. Mm-hmm. And I really think we should change that. And
well,
just
maybe
recognize,
you and I can start doing that. One of the things I want to do in 2018 is really, and I've been asked this for a long time, and I've tried to do it a couple of times, but I think now is the time. It just needed to kind of incubate a little bit, is really to have groups of women's circles. Not to ever be excluding men, to always have men come in that are willing to be, you know, to work collaboratively with women, mm-hmm. but to really help women understand how to change the way they think about themselves, and therefore how they think about working together. Because really, women have a different sense of understanding of human needs.
Mm-hmm.
And not that men don't, because men certainly do. But you know, we see things maybe from a different perspective, like a man would see things from a different perspective. And we need to have both sides of that perspective so that we're more clear in our vision.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing I really want to do, is to bring together women from all walks of life. You know, having elders who have lived through generations of different changes to younger women that are in high school or grade school even. You know, that. What do you want to do?
Oh, yeah, we'd love to be a part of that.
Okay, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. 2018.
2018.
A new resolution.
It is. That's right. So, again, I just want to reintroduce my guest, Sandra Riegel, who is a young visionary who has come to Metropolitan Detroit to really start to help to find homes that have been often abandoned, certainly neglected, and to help to rebuild communities. Because if we don't have a community, we don't have anything. You know, we really have to understand that if someone is going to be able to live out their dream for whatever reason that is, they have to have safety. They have to have a place to live. They have to know that where they go, there's community. They have to be able to have a ways to support themselves or support their young children, etc. And so many women, I'm sure you have found this to be true, so many women are struggling as being single moms. And you know, if they don't have the means or the support that they need and deserve, then it's always going to be a downhill slippery slope. But if you can help them to see, okay, I can clean a house and I can be the best doggone house cleaner, and then I can hire people to do that, mm-hmm. whatever it happens to be. We all need it.
Yeah, exactly.
We all need it. There is no such thing as a job that's less than.
You got to always show people the sky's the limit, because we are often raised with the mindset of, oh, you can only do that. No, the sky's the limit. You can that's do right. way more.
And I love, could you please share again what you said that you did on the very first night that you came to Detroit and you were a little bit shaken? What did you do instead
of anxiety attack ever?
What did you do?
I made a list.
Okay, talk about that. Talk about what was the impetus for you to say, "Gee, I'm not going to let this crush me."
Yeah,
I'm going to make a list.
I mean, I remember.
Obviously, you had the moment of freaking out.
I remember lying down in my bed. It was like the walls were coming at me, and I was like,
what? "Were you in a hotel or what?"
No, I was at Bob's house because he let me stay for a couple of days until I found my apartment. I just remember like the walls coming at me, just being, I was just thinking to myself, what have I done, you know? And I just took a piece of paper and wrote down my goals, what I wanted to accomplish.
And what were those goals, if you don't mind me asking?
There were major goals, like vision goals, but then there were also goals, house per house, what needed to be done. And I just took it house per house. And I think we finished off 3 houses in a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I was from the time that you purchased them to the time they were.
No. From that moment when I had that anxiety attack, because they were not done at all. And we just like,
You need to have a website of showing what you've done.
Yeah.
The before, during, and after.
Oh, yeah.
Pictures?
I'm going to do that. Maybe we're going to have a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And,
but you do need a webpage.
I'll have a webpage also. And, yeah, I just took it like one step at a time. Because if you can like mentally check that off, that is just so
visually,
yeah,
literally,
just so a reassurance for you, like for your mindset. Go like, okay, I've done something. I did this. I did this. I did this. And like from each experience, you also grow, you know. Because I feel like that my upcoming houses are going to be way, way better than houses that I did. Because you learn to like do different things. And another thing that I also want to do is offer these houses through land contracts.
Oh, talk about that, because it's you don't see land contracts very frequently anymore.
I mean, you see land contracts in Detroit homes, but those are houses that are selling for like $5,000 to $6,000, and then that need 30,000 renovations. So a lot of people buy those houses, they pay $600 a month, and they're living in a house that
they can't live in.
They can't live in. I mean, the roof is falling down. So I'm just actually closing on a house this week, my first land contract home.
Good.
Yeah, it's a single mom that's going to be able to purchase a house right now. But it's complicated to me to like fully understand the land contract and the legislation around it. And I want to do it correctly. So I really like, people are renting houses right now for $650, $700 a month. I want them to be like, look, you offer a down payment of $2,000, $3,000. You pay $600 a month. We put $100 aside in an escrow account each month to pay property taxes. And the house is yours after 4 years. I mean,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
Sandra.
I really want to do that. Because like right now, people are paying way too much rent for a house that'll never be them. But getting a mortgage is really difficult for those people because the prices haven't yet stabilized. So yeah, that is something else that I really want to do for 2018. But there's a lot of legal issues that are involved with that that I still need to fully explore.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, the right people will be listening to this and that will want to come to to see how they can help.
Oh, yeah.
Because I see that there's, you know, as you had mentioned, there's the challenge of homelessness. There's the challenge of underemployment. But really, it's just lifting people up.
Exactly.
That's what we have to do. We have to lift people up and say, you know, you have a right to live. You have a right to enjoy your life. You have a right to prosper. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money, but make money honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Make money so that everyone is winning.
Exactly.
Because there's certainly enough to go around. So again, my guest is Sandra Riegel, R-E-I-G-E-L. Please reach out to her if you have any ideas of places or you know of ways that people can begin to maybe get into a journeyman kind of program so that they can learn a trade. If you're willing to help to mentor someone who is in the construction industry, this is the young woman to be in contact with, because there's so many people, there's so many residences that could be fixed up in Detroit and metropolitan Detroit, not just in Detroit, but the whole country, really. And she can be reached at Sandra Riegel, S-A-N-D-R-A-R-E-I-G-E-L @gmail.com. Or her telephone number is 586-447-6006. And tell us any last things you want people to know about what your dream is. As we like have 30 seconds probably left to go.
Oh, I want to look back with no regrets. Like I said earlier, regret is my biggest fear. So right now, I'm just living out my dream. Like, I couldn't be happier right now. I'm in a really happy place.
That's
so
great.
Just want to continue to evolve, to learn. I said my resolution for 2018 was to be good and do good. So I'm going to follow up on that.
Oh,
yeah, that was my New Year's resolution. So yeah, I just want to continue on the path that I'm on and continue to meet wonderful people and make a change.
That's wonderful.
That's all.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much
Thank
for being a guest
much,
on the
Ali.
Show. My guest has been Sandra Riegel. Again, you can reach her at S-A-N-D-R-A-R-E-I-G-E-L @gmail.com, or her telephone number is 586-447-6006. This is Elaine Grohman for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And please know that you too can make a difference in the world. In fact, maybe that's exactly what you were born to do. So never forget that. Have a good week. Talk to you next week. Bye.